Welcome to Achievement Hunting 101. We are at level 294. I am Big Al, and with me this week, we have the illustrious Kush Moose.
Oh, hello.
We have the man from the West, the Wild West, Wild West 08.
What's going on, guys?
And last but certainly not least, easy for me to say, is Mr. X the Hero.
Ooh, hello there.
What was that?
That was me saying, oh, hello there.
Oh, no.
It's the guy from Up.
I can't tell which one of L's impersonations that is. Like, which dialect are you trying to
I don't know what that is.
Because they always come out Asian. I can't tell if that was German.
He's Asian? Not making fun. Wait, that wasn't me.
No, he was just saying hi for anything.
Oh, okay.
No, mine come out Russian.
Is that Russian Asian or was that German Asian?
Yeah, like raisin. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Speaking
I'm of glad reasons, I got us off on a good note.
we have a very wrinkly question this week from the mind of X the Hero. I will let him ask it.
Okay. Well, I'll read the question first and then I'll share my inspiration, I guess. So, since the Dragon's Dogma 2 standalone character creator is getting a ton of positive press and feedback from fans and journalists alike, how much effort do you put into character creators? Do you spend hours fine-tuning your character down to the minutest detail? Do you just get a look that you like, but you don't really worry about specifics? Do you just hit the random button and go from there, somewhere in between, anything else? So my inspiration, then, is obviously the Dragon's Dogma 2 standalone character creator came out. I think last week, it doesn't actually matter. And it's pretty cool because you can create your character ahead of time, and then when the game releases, you'll be able to import your character in. But besides that, it's pretty much being hailed, I don't want to say universally, but as one of the best character creators to come out, basically. In any game so far, it is super customizable. There are options that, why does that option even exist? You know, some things I've never seen in any character creator before. Oh, my personal color. Favorite.
Yes.
Oof. My personal favorite, Reddit is calling it affectionately the Chad slider. You can, it's the hunch of your character. Are they hunching forward or are they leaning uncomfortably far back? So that's the Chad slider. But there's just all sorts of options. You know, obviously pick your nose, your eyes, your haircut, your, you know, skin complexion and color and eyebrows. And but this way, like, it goes really in depth. It's not the only one that's ever done it, but like, you know, your jaw depth, like how far out do you want the bump on your nose? You know, what's the angle that your ears protrude from your head? It's just very, very. If you want to get really in depth, you can do that. And people online have come up with some really impressive replicas of, you know, famous characters from other games or even real life. It's even if you're not interested in the game, it's definitely worth going on Dragon's Dogma 2 subreddit and just seeing what some people are coming up with. So, I think I know the answer, but are any of you familiar with the first game?
I can smell
for me, Pop.
I know of it. I haven't played it.
Have you played it, X?
I have played it twice, in fact. I played the 360 version, and then I played the, what was it called, Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen, the remaster for Xbox One, which just added like a bonus endgame dungeon. So I've gone on record as calling this my favorite RPG of the 360 generation, so needless to say, I am very excited for the sequel, and I'm very excited for the character creator. So the short version here, just to wrap this all up, is I spent over 5 hours creating my main character and then your sidekick that joins you through the whole game. So you don't have to create both of them.
In the first one.
You can, since you're going to look at them for, you know, 60, 80 hours or whatever. So, yeah.
Is Shrek your side character? Is he your...
No, that was from Soul Calibur.
Okay, thank you.
I spent earlier. That's unrelated.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Sigh of relief. I have not posted pictures of my Dragon's Dogma characters yet.
Okay, that's
good. I will do so. By the time this podcast airs, I will have posted my pictures.
I was a little worried that was your side. Yeah, your sidekick. That's gonna take you completely out of the game.
See, what would it make it, you know, much more immersive?
Now, if you can have Donkey be your side.
Right. Damn. Super Jinx.
So yeah, short version, it's a super detailed character creator, and even if you're not interested in the game, it's a free download. It's only 5 gigabytes, I think, so it's not even going to take up a lot of space. Just download it, play around with it, make some cool characters. In fact, L, would you like to
Wait a minute. Talk more about most that? Games I play are like 300 megs, so I don't know.
Does it pop an achievement?
It does not pop an achievement.
Okay. That's it. We need to know this. Are we committed if we spend 5 minutes playing with it?
That would actually be kind of frustrating. Mm-hmm. No, as far as I know, there's no achievement for like in the actual game for, you know, make your character or import a character or anything like that.
Perfect.
So yeah, that's my story. Like I said, I'm not exaggerating. I spent a little over 5 hours just fine tuning all the details, making everything a decade perfect. Ago? That was what?
A decade ago?
No, that was like 3 days ago.
Oh no, okay. I'm confused with the first game. So did the first game have that kind of stuff too?
Oh, the first game had a character creator, but not this level of detail. The first game came out in 2012, I want to say. So it was limited by just 360 technology. So it had one, but it was pretty basic.
Got it.
So anyway, the patron question. Oh, okay. What?
I have lots of questions about this stuff.
Before we do the question.
Talk away, sorry.
Before we do the question, I have something I want to ask you guys. Do you like doing it before the game comes out, or do you like doing it while you're, you know, setting up the game before you start the game?
I mean, has this happened before?
It has happened a few times that I can recall.
Yeah, I know of the Saints Row reboot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did it. And now Dragon's Dogma 2. If there's others, I actually am unaware. But no, I love it.
I would have liked it to be available to do on a website. So if I'm in front of my Xbox, I'm probably going to want to play something instead. So to answer your question, I would probably wait for the game to come out. But this would get a leg up on things, so I don't know.
See that? Yeah, a couple people were asking when we posted this today, like, "Oh, I can't do it on my computer." Like, that's disappointing. And actually, that I get that. That would be cool to make your character, you know, on a website or whatever, and then import it. I think logistically, so it wouldn't be too difficult work to coordinate.
That's why we want to do it on our phone or from a website from work. You see,
I understand.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
To me, like, it's an Xbox game, and I'll make my character on my Xbox, so that doesn't bother me. And Rocker was making fun of me. Why would you spend 5 hours? But like, I was going to spend that 5 hours anyway when the game comes out. So now I've already spent that time and I can just hop right in when the game comes out. So yeah, I am all for if more companies want to release the character creator ahead of time. That is fantastic.
I was going to ask if you can upload and download that kind of stuff. Like, community creations, or lack of a better term, the way they have in WWE games.
So yes and no. In terms of, I'm going to post my character and you can just go search and download my character. Still yes and no. I guess it's not a huge spoiler. Actually, it's not a spoiler at all. What am I talking about? So you have your main character is the Arisen. And then your main pawn is your sidekick. You have a party of 4, and your main pawn is one of those other, well, 3 partners that's always with you. And then you can go into like the ether or the nether or whatever. And this is the yes part of your question. You can download other people's main pawns to accompany on you, to accompany you on your journey. So like if L makes a really cool mage, I can go in and I can search gamertag Big L, and then his really cool mage will show up, and then I can bring that into my game. So with yes,
stats and level, or just cosmetic?
In Dragon's Dogma 1, it was stats and level and cosmetics. Mm-hmm. So you would actually go in and change pretty frequently. So just to use nice, easy numbers, if I am level 10, I can go recruit L's mage at level 10. But then his mage isn't going to level up. So once I hit level 13, I'm going to want someone a little stronger. So if L has also hit level 13, once I hop into the ether or whatever it's called, it will resync. But if he has not played the game, then obviously there's nothing to sync. So I would have to pick someone else's just for the stat boost.
Gotcha.
I guess you wouldn't have to, actually. I mean, you could go through the game at max level with L's cool looking level 10 mage if you really wanted to. It would just put you at a bit of a disadvantage.
Okay.
So, yes and no, you can absolutely use your friend's
characters.
Didn't
really answer my question. Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought I did answer your question.
Well, okay, I get what you're saying. So, like in Forza, like you're someone uploads their build or whatever you call it when you're what do you call it?
Driving.
You know what I'm talking about, where you download like people's
delivery or whatever they call it.
Yes.
No
delivery. Yeah. No, I think that's
when you. When you make. That. What the frick am I talking about?
You're talking about
when you make the car good. Tuning, yeah, tunes. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
yes, you can put in the username of the person who did it, or you could just search for it. I'm talking about like in the WWE games, if someone, you know, people don't just make wrestlers, they'll make like Deadpool or Wolverine and you know, Shrek also, or like a Star Wars character, and then you could just search for those type of things, or they'll just be like top 10 downloaded, or and you could search that way. So that's what I was curious if probably RPGs won't have that, but I'm just curious.
Yeah,
if they
yeah, no, I see what you're saying. In that sense, no, you can't go and download someone's pre-make whatever. But again, just to reiterate, like if I really like your character,
just cosmetic,
I can usually still get your character in my game.
Got it. Okay. All right, time to read some
other questions.
Responses.
No, I was just kind of curious because I know it's been happened a few times. I'm sure the patrons and other people will correct me, but I thought there was another one or two, but I can't think of it. I know, yeah, I know that one we talked about was there, but
gotcha.
Let's get to the patrons.
To that end, actually, I'm curious. I feel like with Saints Row, it was like whatever because people were already like whatever about the game. But like this one for Dragon's Dogma 2, it is getting a lot of hype. Like I've seen it on, you know, it made it to the front page of Reddit, for whatever that's worth. I've seen it just scrolling through Yahoo. You know, the character creator came out like it's getting a lot of press. So it's definitely building a lot of hype. And I'm curious if people that otherwise wouldn't have been interested in the game will now pick it up. Not just like, aha, now I made a character. Now I have to play. Just, whoa, that's, you know, I've heard of this through the exposure. Now let me, you know, maybe it's a game I like or something like that. So I feel like if it's a good character creator, it can only be good press. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's on my radar now, thanks to you.
What?
It's on my radar now, thanks to you.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
All right, you could read some patron responses now.
Patron responses. Chesno says, it depends on the game. If it's something I'm doing solely for achievements, then just default. If I actually care about the game, then I will take my time. A lot of modern fighting games have custom characters, so I have a few custom fighters floating around. And the Shrek that Koosh referred to earlier, I have an infamous exposed Shrek character that I built in Soul Calibur. So I have a ton of custom characters in fighting games. So I'm right there with you, Chesno. And Vulgar Latin, also, if you want to see my exposed Shrek, become a patron. Vulgar Latin says, it depends. In Saints Row, I built a character around the voice. Other times, I don't really think about it. So far, no one has matched my enthusiasm for a good character creator. But we're only two responses in. So, Hoosh, I'll pass it off to you.
I feel like I built a character around the voice needs some explanation, but like, I could use a little more details.
Reality show.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Long-time listener, first-time caller, Rocker Dude says, default character for the win. No surprise there. Bug, old man Fug says, cutest rando, good to go. Makes sense. Myself, yeah, I don't spend a whole lot of time. Like, if I'm spending more than 5 minutes in the character creator, I feel like I'm wasting my time. I just want to play a game. So my favorite thing in the character creator is that randomize button. Like, I just spam that until, yes, like Fug said, I get the cutest rando that I'm kind of happy with. Actually, probably like the second or third cutest rando, because I'm like, dang it, I should have gone with the first or second one. This is good enough, and then I'll go with that. And like we were talking pre-show, and I don't think it made it onto the podcast, the first person versus third person, yeah, first person, I definitely not going to spend a whole lot of time. It is nice seeing your character look at you on the, you know, the character select screen or whatever, but for the most part, you're not looking at them unless it's a third person. And then when you are looking at them in third person, you're looking at the derriere for the most part. So, yeah, so I want something cute. I want something that I don't mind looking at. For the character creators. Now, my daughter, on the other hand, will spend hours. If you let her, she'll spend hours on the character creation on games that aren't as good as Dragon Dogma 2. I'm talking like Stumble Guys. Like in Stumble Guys, she's picking the character. And that, you know, that's not super flexible. You're just picking a, you know, whatever, a costume. She's just trying out the different combinations. I'm like, okay, we can play anytime now, or you can call me back in an hour. And then I'll tell you how the next screen works. But yeah, for me, no, I minimal time and let's go.
I'm just picturing your daughter in Human Fall Flat, just spending hours.
Oh yeah,
scrolling
oh,
through well, the nothing.
I've got the pink princess with the yellow costume. Yeah, she loves that one too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I can just see that. Call me back when you're ready.
Yeah.
Three hours later, four hours later, SpongeBob like style.
Yeah, we haven't hit the start screen yet. We're still, yeah. It's a little frustrating for me, but she loves it. And so that's good. That's how she wants to enjoy her game. Go for it. What about you, Wild West?
All right. Well, I've got a great response from Chewy on Ice saying, I love an in-depth character creator. With most games, I don't spend hours and hours on them, but I do put some effort into crafting something uniquely me. Generally, I either try to make a version of myself, basically a tall, skinny, hairy guy, or I try and make something resembling Chewy, basically a tall, skinny, even hairier guy. Who would have thought? As patrons from last year will know, I saved the really crazy creative stuff and the hours of effort for the WWE games. Over the years, I've made friends, family members, celebrities, movie and TV characters, and interpretations of you lot. So I kind of fall in this category as Chewy. I usually spend a good 30 to 45 minutes on there if it's a good one. Before I had my daughters were old enough, I would usually kind of just go through the different options and find a guy that I, you know, was kind of had some, you know, weird hairstyle, or, you know, I'd put scars on them and, you know, tattoos, all this stuff. You just kind of look at the different options. And then finally I'd hit a point about 30, 45 minutes later and be like, all right, I'm done. I want to get in the game now. And then, as my daughters have gotten older, a lot of times when I'm getting to the character creation screen, like I did with Mass Effect Andromeda, they're watching it. And so I usually will choose the female character and kind of let them go crazy on what they want. So I had a purple haired lady for Mass Effect that I played as. So it's kind of a nice moment to bring us together as we create the character, and then they run off and I'm stuck with them. But you know, it was a fun moment when we got to create everything. So I like the options, and I'm in the same boat. If it's a game that I'm going to spend most of the time in first person, then I usually don't really care too much and I'll whiz through it really fast. But if it's third person, I'll take some time in it, even though for the most part, you'll see them on the backside, like Kush said, but I enjoy it. I enjoy that. And that's why I like playing these games. It's one of the reasons.
I just I want to chime in super quick. More of me, you know, gushing about Dragon's Dogma. It's a third-person game, but the part of the appeal of the combat
is that you get to climb on the backs of the giant monsters. So, like, you know, a giant dragon comes down, instead of just hacking at its toe until it dies, you actually have to climb up its leg. I think the left trigger is like your grab button with your grab strength, and then you can stab at the back of its neck while you're hanging on for dear life. It's pretty cool. Shadow of the Colossus vibes, if you're familiar. But the nature of the combat of that kind, the camera is moving around. So it's third person, but you're not just looking at their backside the whole time. You do get in combat a full 360 view of your character as things are happening and changing. So it's nice in that sense.
Is it my turn? Skeptical Mario says, if I customize, which I don't often do, I make it look either like me or like my girlfriend, whichever takes less time. So it looks like your hand. Red Stack says, I usually poke around a bit and check my options, but I don't spend crazy amounts of time trying to get it exactly right. Okay, well, this answer is probably different for me 15, 20 years ago. So obviously I'm going to talk about wrestling games, which have been having robust character creators for well over 25 years now, believe it or not, in the 90s for sure, and the N64 games even, but definitely the PlayStation games. There were always character creators, and sometimes you could take the wrestlers in there and edit them to your liking or change the costumes around, or you can create your own. And this wasn't just the way the character looked, but their moves as well. So you could easily spend hours doing this, and you would want your wrestler to look good and have good moves because you'd be using this wrestler for a season mode or a career mode. So that's definitely a thing. And back before the internet, or before the consoles were connected to internet, there was a big community of people who took the time to write down all the individual stats. So like if it was jacket 6, and then you take the red and go up to 32, and you take the blue and you go to 47, and people would copy these verbatim, and that's how they would download their wrestlers from the internet before you could just do uploading and downloading in game like you can now in the new games. So there was a whole community about that. So it's fascinating how things have changed. You guys here?
Yeah, I was going to chime in, but I feel like I'm the only one chiming in. So.
Oh, I'm just making sure that
no, we're listening
that this to you. On. This thing's working.
You said wrestling, and then
you fell asleep.
now
I know you played wrestling games in college. I know you did a lot of experimental things in college.
It's true. It's
true. But that was a big thing. The wrestling games, first and foremost. I'm trying to think of anything at all with the same level of care that was put into those type of games. We talked about Hogwarts several times a month or two ago. That had a one of the most beautiful character creators I've ever seen. I don't know how robust it really was. There's another one no one has mentioned that is going to be very interesting for the new year that I wanted to segue into, which is MLB The Show. So I'm currently trying to finish up MLB The Show 23, and MLB The Show 24 is going to be out any day now, depending if you have early access or not. And the new thing in 24 is there are women in the game now. So this, of course, is a little bit polarizing, but it's led to some high-quality memes because there's people complaining, oh, it's not realistic that there's going to be women in the major leagues. And then there's a guy in the background saying, meanwhile, I just took the Chicago White Sox to their 10th straight World Series. So it's a lot of fun memes about that kind of joke. So yes, I would say most people are fine with it, but the jerks who are not fine with it are usually the loudest.
That's how things usually work.
Yeah. So I'm interested in checking that out to see how that works, to see if not only creating the female characters, but like, can they be drafted the same? Like, how does that work? So I'm curious about all that stuff in the new game. Probably more on that in the next week or two. We just got the achievement list for 24, and it looks way easier than 23. I definitely look forward to checking that out very, very soon. Yeah, so that was the question that I expertly segued into my showcase talking about MLB, the show.
That was pretty well done, actually.
It was amazing. I waited until the last minute. Like I said, I wouldn't do the last 2 years. Good job, Al. Good job. But Mike Pitch got the completion. If he can get the completion, anybody can. So.
Does that mean on this time next year you're going to be talking about MLB The Show 24?
No. I mean, if the list looks as easy as I think, no, but probably yes.
Then you'll wait till the last couple days, then instead of the last month.
Probably ask you for help.
Probably.
If it could be done online, we're going to do it.
Yeah, it looks like it can be.
Well, that would be nice. That would be nice. Any excuse to play it and check it out. I just finished the Negro Leagues storyline. It was incredible. I talked about that before. You got to learn a lot of history. I got to learn some new names and players that I'd never heard of. And I'm one of those guys who's pretty well-versed in baseball knowledge, but I did not know these players. But it's people from like the 1910s to 1930s. So it's very, very, very old, and there's not much footage exists of this stuff. So very cool to hear real historians talk about this stuff. And I believe they're bringing that back for the new one as well. So now I'm doing the Diamond Dynasty, and then I got to do the March to October, and then I'll be done. But it kind of sucks waiting to the last minute because there's a lot I wanted to play this month, but it's taking a back seat. Certainly don't want to pay money for this game. So this is what's happening.
So as somebody with no interest in real baseball or virtual baseball, I didn't know that it had the history aspect, actually. That is pretty cool. I do like that.
Yeah, not only is it history, so what they'll do is they'll say, like, this is Jackie Robinson. I assume you've heard of him. So before he was MLB's first African-American baseball player, he was in the Negro Leagues. And there's one cutscene that kind of blew my mind a little bit. And it talked about how the minor league team he was on, I think it was the Monarchs, Kansas City Monarchs, they lost half their team to World War II. They were all drafted. So because this happened, he was invited to be on the team. So they talked about, like, if World War II never happened, would Jackie Robinson have ever played baseball?
Yeah.
So that kind of blew my mind. And I'm sure you could say that for anything in life, but that was the thing. And he became first black baseball player on the Dodgers, and he happened to do very, very well, and he was charismatic. So then others followed suit, and you get to hear some of their stories too. Like this dude, Martin DeHigo, who was a Mexican player or Cuban, and he played every single position. So he's the only player in the game. You could put him in at any position, pitcher, catcher, and all the other positions too. So a lot of stuff like that goes beyond just, I'm sitting here playing 162 games and I'm trying to get the Mets to the World Series because they haven't done it since 1986. And that's the only way they'll ever get there. Yes, it's the only way. But yeah, if you don't know sports and not into sports, this probably won't change your mind. It's like, it's not hard to play. The pitch comes, you press A, or if you, you know, you can aim where you want to pitch and press A. Like, they make it pretty simple for you. And you can put out auto fielding and all that stuff.
Can you create a team that's just that one player in every position, kind of like Multiplicity style?
Yeah. There was a Bugs Bunny episode like that, right? First base, Bugs Bunny, second base, Bugs Bunny, third base, Bugs Bunny. That's classic. I don't think you can, but you can. It's cool because they're basically baseball cards. So Topps is involved in this game, and you open packs and then you use those cards to put them on your team. But once you finish the Negro Leagues, you can use those players on your team, and it makes life a lot easier. Like I said, the last week, the walkthrough just came out. Thanks.
Just in time.
Yeah. There was one thing that pissed me off in it. Like, there was one point, instead of runs, the guy said points, if you have enough points. I was so mad. I need to go report that immediately.
I'm just throwing that out there. For people who don't know baseball, I appreciate that it says points.
No, god damn it. You even know. I know you know.
I think I would have figured it out, but just the number on my screen. I have 2 points.
They're runs. Like what you have after Taco Bell. Runs. And with that, we'll segue into Kushmoose.
Oh, I have nothing to say about talking about this.
I would be though. Offended by that segue.
No, never.
No, no. Yeah, so I won't be talking about Taco Bell this week.
Oh,
something instead, equally poopy. Instead, I don't think it's poopy, but you know, some people might think so. I'm going to talk about Paw Patrol World. On Game Pass. Yeah, it came to Game Pass last week. It's awesome. First things first. If you've ever watched the show, if you've ever watched the show, they say that all the time. So yeah, nothing new there.
We watch it all the time. Yeah,
or if you play the games, they say it all the time in the games too. Right, let's get this over with. The very first thing before you even start the game, before you even hit the start button or whatever, go into the options in the game, and you will thank me later. You're going to change the manual camera to on. You're going to change the easy character switching to on, and you're going to turn skip dialogue to on. Now, I know people get upset when you say skip dialogue. Well, you're not really skipping the dialogue. Instead, it's giving you the option to speed the dialogue up by pressing A. If that is not changed from off to on,
wait. There. Are you talking about the fully voice acted dialogue?
Yes,
the fully expertly voice crafted dialogue. Just for the game, and you're just gonna skip it.
I'm gonna skip everything but 3 seconds of it. Yes.
Okay. That's fair.
So yeah, so you can skip along as you're reading to get through the game faster. You won't just go up to Ryder and then go on your mission. You'll have to sit there and click through 5 things, but it's much faster than waiting for those 5 things to complete. So with those settings set, you're good to go. The game follows the pups, and it's got all of them, including Everest and Tracker. If you're familiar with your Paw Patrol lore, you know about where they stand in the timeline of the Paw Patrol team. So that's the those are the most recent pups that they have in the game. Every pup has their standard vehicle. They don't have the superhero variants, in case you're wondering. They just have the standard vehicles. And you will be doing things like picking up coins in the world. I'm sorry, not coins. Pup treats. There'll be pup treats. These are not points. They are runs. They are pup treats in the middle of the road. You'll be picking those up. There are also tags. There's one tag per pup per world. And there are 4 worlds. So you're going to have to get 4 tags per pup throughout the entire game. There are also what are called, hero missions. No, they're called help requests. There's going to be a certain number of help requests per world, and they will always show up on your map. However, when you complete them, they won't disappear, and they'll still sit there with an exclamation mark. And when you walk up to them, That's how you're gonna be able to tell if you've done them or not, because they'll say, do you want to repeat this mission? And you, of course, say no. Why would I ever want to do that? And you move on. Now, the cool thing about that easy switching setting is it's gonna save some of your sanity, because otherwise, the way the game works is you run around the town. There's your pup of choice, and you can cycle through them all from the beginning. You're not unlocking them or anything. You then have to do a certain function, and each pup has something that they're really good at. Like Sky can fly, Marshall can use his ladder, or use the truck to put out fires. We all know how he puts out fires on bushes. Come on. But you can use the hose from the truck to put out the fire. You can plow things over. You can use Zuma to go on the water. Everyone knows this. Everyone knows this.
Common knowledge, guys.
It's just common knowledge. So each pup has their own function. And if you were playing the game without changing that setting, first of all, every time you go to do one of those new actions, you would have to manually switch the pup. With this setting turned on, you just go to the circle, you push the action button, boom, it switches to your pup. If you need the vehicle, boom, it switches to the vehicle. It really saves your sanity, because otherwise you would be swapping pups every minute while you're trying to do these quests. And that's kind of crazy. Let's see, what else is there? You're going to be unlocking costumes. As you're picking up these treats, as you're doing things out on each level, sometimes you see like a bush is shiny, and you go click on that bush, and then you'll do whatever. You'll prune it, you'll do whatever you have to do to that bush. Or there could be a bench that needs to be fixed. So Rocky goes and fixes Rocky? No. Darn it. I don't remember which pup does that. You'll fix the bench, or you'll do this other thing. So there are these things in the environment that you click on, and those will give you pup treats as well. After you get a certain number of pup treats, boom, you'll get some sort of reward. Could be a sticker for postcards, could be a costume. And you're going to get a ton of these as you're going through the game, because there's a lot of pup treats. Back to the postcards, there will be a certain number of postcards per world. You'll find them in mailboxes. And other than just, they're funny to look at or whatever, or not, you can just skip them. That's a collectible that you'll need to be picking up. Now the achievements are kind of all over the place. They are for collecting pup treats. They are for using pup emotes. Sometimes those help requests will only be, you'll only be able to start them by going up to the person and then doing the particular emote that pops up above their head. Boom, that will start the help request. You go do the thing, takes 30 seconds or whatever, and then you're done. But you'll get an achievement the very first time you use that pup emote. Like I was saying, there'll be shiny objects. You'll get an achievement for doing your very first shiny object, which they call playing with an object. Customizing your postcards. I haven't done that yet. I'm saving that one because that's, really hard, really time intensive. I'm kind of saving it. Then there are things like progressing the story. So facing Mayor Humdinger's blimp in this particular zone. Well, that's as you're going through, you'll talk to Ryder and he'll give you a new mission. And there's 8 to 10 of those per world. When you get to the very end, you're going to just start chasing the balloon around or the blimp around. You'll do those little special things that each pup can do. And then boom, level's over. Not a very complicated game, not a very difficult game. However, there's a lot to do. And like I said, if you don't have that easy switching and you don't have that setting to allow you to speed through the dialogue, you're going to go insane. And you don't want that. That is pretty much Paw Patrol World. I haven't run into any bugs yet. I haven't finished the game. I'm on the third world. But I didn't think it was going to surprise me with any more gameplay that needed to be discussed. So I think this is pretty good idea of how that game is going to work. How much time have I spent? I have put in 3 hours. It's a 6 to 8 hour game, so I'm roughly half of the way through, but I think I'm probably on a good clip to finish it under that 6 to 8 hour time frame. But that's Paw Patrol World. It is not horrible. It is probably one of the better Paw Patrol games. Like I said, I haven't run into any bugs yet. I haven't run into that silly thing where you have to get the RNG to get a level that even has enough pup treats for you to collect in order to get the achievement. That doesn't happen here. So yeah, not a bad game so far.
I thoroughly appreciate
the rundown of Paw Patrol World. Thank you for that.
No problem. I love these games. I love these tie-in games.
Now, can you rank all the Paw Patrol games in order?
Gosh, I can't even tell you how many there are. I feel like there's five of them now.
I was going to say four, was my guess.
Let's see. Let's see. One, two, three.
Four. I guess five. There's the cart.
There's, there five. There's Vulgar's favorite, Grand Prix.
Yeah, Grand Prix. There's Paw Patrol, the movie. There's Paw Patrol, Mighty Pups, Save Adventure Bay. Now, if you're wondering, I believe that is the superhero one. Yes. And then there's Paw Patrol on a roll. The 3D
one was good.
Yeah.
So that's five?
That's five. There's five. Yeah, this is the fifth. And every all single right. one of them has come to Game Pass.
And you get them all 5 stars each. Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, I think all together they're at least five stars. Yep. Five games, at least five one, stars.
You're star correct. Five all together. Got it. Got it.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what more to ask about this game. It's clearly a must play for anyone with Game Pass, anyone with children, anyone with an Xbox, anyone with a controller.
I mean, it's clearly Xbox trying to hit that family-friendly market, right? They're just like, okay, Outright Games, send us your next one. Oh, wait, JoJo Siwa? No, we don't want that one. But you know, we don't want that one.
You know. Get that trash out of here.
Yeah, get that trash. You know, there's a certain threshold of quality that we, you know, we just can't sink below. And unfortunately, that
it's
is
JoJo Siwa. It's a very low quality, but we just won't go that far.
It's a super low limbo line. But yeah, we're not going to pick it up off the floor.
You know, Koosh, I just want to throw it out there that once you finish Paw Patrol World, you will be among the elite 105 gamers on TA to have finished all five games.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
That's what he aspires to when he wakes up in the morning.
Oh my gosh, look at that. Yeah. I'm excited.
And this is also PC Game Pass. This is just hand this off to your daughter again. Oh, wait, you want to play this for yourself? Never mind.
So you think she has outgrown this one? Yeah, yeah.
I see.
She's too old for Paw Patrol, sir. This is an old man's game.
There's no character creator.
There is no character creator. You're stuck with man. The default.
How cool would that be? Create your own pup? You can pick what powers he has.
Well, yeah, I'm saving the pirate costume. That's an achievement, you know, doing you know,
pirate,
on
the
pirate costume. Yeah.
And do you get the completion yet? What?
No, you're still
holding off. You're holding off.
I'm on. Yeah, I'm delaying that gratification. Flash. I haven't yet,
8 hours. Yet had
enough time to do it. I'm on the third world. Course. It's the snow world.
And it's a $39.99 retail price for some reason.
For some reason.
Yeah. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Oh, let me give you one other pro tip. Be Zuma. If you don't have to be another pup, be Zuma, because his vehicle can drive on land or water, and you don't have to manually switch between the pups if you want to take a shortcut over water. So there you go.
Got it.
He's Zuma. Orange one. He's the brown.
That was that.
Yeah, he's the chocolate retriever, so.
Zuma was that game with the frog. Zuma's Revenge.
Sure, if that helps you remember which Zuma or which dog to play, go for it.
That took me way too long to make that Montezuma's Revenge, you know, correlation in my head, but I admit it. I admit it. All right, that was Paw Patrol World. Next up, we have Wild West, who undoubtedly is going to tell us about a cool beat 'em up game or something really fast paced.
Well, I thought I was telling the guys I thought I would just talk about this brand new game that just came into Game Pass. It's everything in there that I like. It's called Control. I don't know if you've heard about it yet. But no, we've already talked about Control. It's great. I started it today on Windows. No, I'm going to be talking about Planet Coaster. This was a former Game Pass game, and I just didn't get into it when it was in Game Pass. I didn't have the time for it, but it's a genre that I grew up playing quite a bit of. I don't know if you guys ever got into Roller Coaster Tycoon when it was out.
I was very much hoping you were going to mention Roller Coaster Tycoon at some point in your showcase. Heck yeah.
You did? Oh, yeah. I mean, so at that time that that game came out, my family had moved from a place that we had stayed at for 8 years to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And there was some kids in my neighborhood up the street, and they had it, Roller Coaster Tycoon, and him and his parents would play it all the time. And I'd go over to their house. We'd play 007 on 64. We'd take turns on their computer playing Roller Coaster Tycoon. When I got my birthday money, I bought it for myself and played it hours. I'd wake up at 6 o'clock on Saturday and just play it. I loved Roller Coaster Tycoon. And so when Planet Coaster came to Game Pass, I was like, yes, I'm going to do this. And unfortunately, the year went by, I never did. So I ended up buying it when it was on sale. And I was looking for my next game after Mass Effect, and I wanted a little bit of a change. So I switched to the management genre, and I've been playing this. And so far, I am really enjoying it. It is very similar to Roller Coaster Tycoon in that it has scenarios that they call a career mode. And in these scenarios that you'll play, you'll start on a tutorial one, and they will give you 3 objectives: a bronze objective, a silver objective, and a gold objective. And in each of those different colors objectives, they'll give you 2 tasks that you need to do to fulfill them. And you can fulfill them in any order. So if you fulfill a silver request, it will tick it off no matter what. Even if you haven't finished the bronze or the gold or wherever you're at, whenever you meet the requirements, it'll tick that requirement off, and you will you'll be done with it, and you can hit the other 5 or 4 or whatever you have left. Once you have finished all of the requirements, you are done with that level. And you can move on to the next one, or you can stay in the park if you so choose. After you beat each of these scenarios, you'll get some XP that will work towards different achievements. And once you get them all done, you'll get the highest career rank achievement, which is called Rise to the Challenge. Oh, sorry, wrong one. Star-Studded Career. That's what it was. I passed it. Star-Studded Career. So that's with getting all the stars in career mode. You'll go from the tutorial, which is very easy, to beginner. Then from beginner, you'll go to easy, medium, and then hard. I'm in the middle of the medium section right now, and I just got my career rank up to, I believe, 7 today. Yeah, 7 today. Yesterday, sorry. So I got my career rank to 7, and so as you beat each of those ones, you'll get XP onto your career ranks, and eventually you'll get the last achievement there. And so that kind of takes care of all of the scenarios and the career mode that they have. To help you in the career mode, they have a workshop called the Frontier Workshop that you can go into, and you can upload coasters that you have made. You can upload different buildings that you can create when you're in the park, like different restroom designs, different food designs, gift shops, just pretty much anything. You can make a building out of it, and then you can save that design and you can upload it if you want to Frontier Workshop. Unfortunately, there is no crossplay in this between console and PC. So I know the Steam workshop is very active with a lot of different designs. Unfortunately, you can't get that on the console edition. There is no crossplay in that, but you are able to get any designs that people have made. So there are some roller coaster designs that you can upload if you want to share your design, or you can download them as well if you want some help with certain ones. Some of the requirements in career mode for like a gold star objective means you need to create a certain roller coaster that hits certain targets. And if you want, you can always search in the Frontier Workshop to see if someone else has done it, or you can create your own however you want to do it. But yeah, so you'll in the park, they'll have different requirements for the career mode. There'll be some like you need to earn X amount of money in a single month. They could be you need to do that specifically on ride profits, or I just did one today where you had to earn a certain amount of money in the month for profits from hotels or food or gift shops, priority passes, things like that. So just different requirements to pass those objectives in career mode. Some of the other modes they have in here that are to, just specifically on achievements, they have a sandbox mode, which gives you unlimited money. You can choose the climate you want, whether it be like a forest, they have a desert, they have, what's the other one? A rural area, city area. They have different areas, so you can choose whatever design you want. You'll have unlimited money, and you can just go bananas and do whatever you want to do. You can make a roller coaster, you know, one roller coaster, your whole park if you wanted to. It doesn't matter. So that it comes in handy because there are some miscellaneous achievements for creating roller coasters with a certain length. There's ones that you have to reach a certain miles per hour. There's ones that you have to have a certain amount of airtime or drops and stuff like that. So there are some miscellaneous achievements that you can go in sandbox mode. You can also search for them on the Frontier Workshop. I found a roller coaster that fit all of the miscellaneous requirements for it. So I just made the roller coaster in sandbox. And once I did the test drive of the coaster and it came back with all of the requirements, all the achievements popped right away for that. They have a challenge mode that I haven't gotten into yet. But apparently the challenge mode is kind of like they give you a park with a limited amount of money. And then you have to every few minutes, a new challenge will pop up and say, hey, you need to do this challenge. And once you do, I think your first challenge, you get an achievement, your fifth challenge, you get an achievement, and your 10th challenge, you get an achievement. So there's three achievements tied to that mode. And then for those, if you like to have some extra stuff, they do have some extra DLC that I have bought for fun. They have one for Ghostbusters. They've added some Ghostbusters themed concessions and rides and stuff like that. So I've been putting those in the world and using those. They also have some kind of studio lot like you'll see at Universal I think it was Universal that had that ride with the lots. And then also they have a kind of like one of those, what's it called? Like the Water World ride thing, or not ride, but show. So they have stuff like that you can add into the park as well through another DLC pack I got. I think there's like 10 packs on the website, on the Xbox store. So there is some different variety that you can add to that if you want to. But I'm having a lot of fun with the game. I'm just kind of going through the story mode right now and just getting all that stuff done. But it's a lot of fun. It's normally, I think, $49.99. So if you're not a huge fan of that kind of genre, that's not going to be worth it to you. But it does regularly go on sale, along with the DLCs go on sale if you want some extra content as well. So, you know, I've been having a lot of fun, and I'll be doing stuff with my park and let my kids choose the rides that they want to place where. And so we'll just, you know, get them involved in it as well. And it's a lot of fun. And I think they're going to be doing a second game, so I'll be looking forward to that.
I feel
very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. I feel bad for what I'm about to say. That was a thorough rundown, and that was awesome. But if you're listening to this particular podcast, you might be interested in quick, easy achievements. Mm-hmm. And at a former point in my life, I was that person. And in 1 hour and 48 minutes of playtime and abusing downloading pre-made roller coasters, I got 19 of the 38 achievements, 470 of the 1,000 gamer score, and 1,165 TA for about like a 2.4 or so ratio on my mental math there. For literally zero effort, I did nothing to actually genuinely play this game as intended. So if you just want a quick ratio boost, it's not on Game Pass anymore, but it does go on sale quite cheap and quite often. So if you just need a quick ratio boost for something, there's a pretty good deal. 1200 TA, 500 gamer score, under 2 hours. No effort. Yeah,
it's got some meaty TA in there, especially the further I get in the game.
For sure. It's one of those ones that, like, if I was a kid, I would have just, this is the only game I would have needed, much like Roller Coaster Tycoon was. It's just one of those things, like, you know, now I have 500 games. What am I even going to do? I'm not going to go back to Planet Coaster. And that's not against Planet Coaster. That's just, I don't know. Priorities, man. But yeah, I agree. If you grew up playing Roller Coaster Tycoon, it will scratch that itch for you.
Oh, very much so. And it's pretty cool. You can, unlike, I think in the later Roller Coaster Tycoons, you could actually do some of the ride viewing, and here you can as well. Like you can, there's a way you could do it in the menu to watch the rides and go on the rides yourself too. So you can enjoy all that if that's something you like.
So I assume this is one player only?
Yes. I don't think there's any co-op that I have seen so far as I've moved around the different menus.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like there aren't many of those management games like Zoo Tycoon that are four-player online co-op.
Yeah.
There should be more of those so I can have people help me with those. I mean, so...
You mean do them for you?
No. Farm Together doesn't count. So don't even say it. And does this game feel okay with a controller? Because it seems like one of those that would be well-suited with mouse. And I don't think it's PC playable.
It is okay with the controller. I liked this so far. I've liked this. It does say on there that it does support keyboard and mouse. I do enjoy the controls in this a lot more than I did Two Point Campus. I haven't done Hospital yet. I felt like the controls so far have done really a lot of fun, been very good. There's a lot of menus in there. I'm still discovering stuff. Yesterday when I was playing it, you can have like water shoot out of a spigot when your roller coaster goes over, you know, over a certain trigger. So like, I'm still figuring that stuff out as I'm going through the menus, and they've been pretty smooth. Nothing's been weird or just clunky in my mind. I feel like it's pretty good with their menus.
You said the achievements are fine so far because there is that warning on TA about things being buggy and not unlocking potentially.
So they did at the beginning, like right when it came out, I know there were some issues with some stuff. I have not had any issues, and I believe from what I've read in patch notes and stuff like that, that everything's been fixed so far that I've seen. I haven't had any issues at all. Everything's popped when it should. There is tracking on certain things. Like the career mode right now, every time I gain a level in career mode, the subsequent levels, they'll go up a little bit. It doesn't really matter because, like when you get level one, you're going to get the achievement. And even though level two will show that it's 50% done because it's, you know, you're going to level two, you're still going to get the achievement at level two. I don't need to be tracked on that, but it still tracks on it. So, but there's not really much else to really track. So everything's pretty much just like, if your coaster does this, you'll get the achievement. And once you test it and it comes back and you get it, the achievement just pops right away.
Yeah, I was always intimidated by these type of games as a kid. I played SimCity and that's about it. I was able to figure that one out. But these just seem like there's a lot to do. Involved a lot of tinkering.
Yeah, not too bad so far. I'm still on medium, yeah. So I've got a few more medium parks to do, and then I'll get into, I think there's only one or two sections of hard, so we'll see how those go. But there's a lot of guides out there. If you're ever interested in it, there's a lot of stuff on Steam. If you get stuck somewhere, I've gotten stuck a few places and needed to look at it from a different angle, and Steam has a lot of good stuff. There's a guide that has a good guide on PlayStation trophies. So as I've gotten stuck and needed to pivot, there is stuff out there if you need help. And you can always download stuff if you need that as well. But Planet Coaster, a lot of fun. Get ready for Planet Zoo.
Who's you buying this?
Wait, Kusha.
Am I buying it or am I believing what he's saying?
Yes, I thought you were buying this and all the DLC.
No. Of course not. No, this is not my jam. The only sim I played, I think I've mentioned it before, is SimAnt. SimAnt, I played a lot of.
Hard Space.
Way back.
Shipbreaker.
Yeah, I'll play Shipbreaker, but I'm saying like the Sim City series. SimAnt was my jam.
I remember that.
Yeah, I never played another Sim game since. Although in college, we had to play Sim City. College was great. But. I didn't really, no, not my jam, so no. But I'm
fine, happy
that you're happy.
I see Emma has played it too. My friends list, I was just looking right now. Yeah, she's got 881 TA on it.
I had no idea. Is she crazy?
Me either. I was just looking at friends list while Kush was talking. She might have done, I think, a lot of the... Oh, let's see. No, she did the challenge recently.
I wouldn't even be surprised if she was going for TAD back in the day, too.
Yeah, this is 2020. It looks like some TA. Yeah, we'll hear from her when she hears this.
X, did you say you downloaded coasters and got achievements based off of that?
Yeah, I don't remember specific. Like Wild West was saying, there's
so there's an online
a certain coaster has to reach whatever miles per hour, and you can just search the achievement title and plop this coaster down and run it, and it will hit this mile per hour and bleep bloop.
All right, so this is basically an online character creator just for roller coasters.
Yeah,
there you go.
That all right. We're batting 1,000 here. All right, that was Planet Coaster. X, bring us on home.
All right, I have two mini ones. I just want to give a special shout out to the Warhammer DLC for Power Washer Simulator. I know about as little about Warhammer as one could possibly know, but I thoroughly enjoyed the, if you've played it, you know how you get like the little text conversations as you make your 20% progress. I assume it was like Warhammer humor that I wasn't privy to, but I enjoyed the conversations nonetheless. If you like Power Wash Simulator, it's just more of that. Not too much to say there, but you know, it's $8 just like the other DLC packs, and it is probably the it's definitely the most difficult one. The final level, which isn't a secret because the achievements are not secret, whatever a Thunderhawk is, it's a huge freaking spaceship. The completion estimate is 6 to 8 hours. And no joke, that last level is 3 of those 6 to 8 hours. The first 4 go very quickly, and then that last one is just gigantic. To the point where I'm like, oh, cool, I'm done. And then I look, I'm like, oh, wait, there's a whole extra wing to this ship. So, yeah, if you like Power Wash Simulator, check out the Warhammer 40K DLC. And if you hate Power Wash Simulator, then avoid this DLC at all costs. So that's quickie number one. Quickie number two is Hidden Through Time 2. If you guys remember when the first Hidden Through Time came out, I came on the show and I spoke very highly of it. That was sometime summer 2020. I have absolutely nothing but good things to say about this game. Or I guess the series. And the sequel is just as good as the first one. It doesn't bring anything new to the table, but it doesn't need to. If you are unfamiliar, as the name implies, Hidden Through Time, it just gives you a bunch of... It's like, where's Waldo? That's the best way to sum it up. But instead of finding Waldo, you're just finding random things. So, you know, a giant forest, and there's things moving, and, you know, all the things happening, and you just need to find a little lizard. So you, you know, scroll up and down and left and right and zoom in and out, and then you find the lizard, and yay! And there's, like, 10 and 15, 20 things to find as you advance through the levels. And it's... I don't know, honestly, if it would be fun playing solo. I will fully admit that. But Kelsey and I had a blast with the first one, and we are having a blast with the second one as well. You guys, I know, I think, Kush, you played the first one.
Yeah.
I know you backed me up on that one. You're like, mm-hmm. it is absolutely, you know, can you call it 5-star? What even is that? But as far as this type of game goes, for sure. I see you haven't played the sequel yet, but
no,
yeah, if you like the first one, highly recommend picking this one up. Hidden Through Time 2, Myths and Magic. That's just the theme of the levels.
I like that game.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's I don't want to overuse the word wholesome, but it is. It's just cute. It's wholesome. There's, I think, 4 or 5 main hub worlds. I don't remember. We haven't finished it yet. And then once again, the
user-created levels are back. And as far as achievements go, if that's all you care about, I won't judge. The first game, I think you had to download and play 50 user-created maps. This one, you only have to do 5 in the sequel, so much more manageable. Yeah, much more manageable there. But it's still absolutely, if you like the game, it's worth checking out. Just sort by like highest reviews or highest rated. Like some people, like I go crazy in character creators. Some people have just spent hours creating some of these maps, and it's genuinely impressive the level of detail that these people put into, you know, what's honestly not a very big game, Halo map or whatever. So some people get really into their hidden through time. So if you like the game and you have kids or a spouse, there really is nearly unlimited replayability here with all those user maps. So, yeah, Hidden Through Time 2, Myths and Magic. It's $13. Genuinely worth every penny. I'm sure it'll go on sale soon, though. Pick it up. And for my quickie number 3, but I guess like my main showcase, my actual showcase, Final Fantasy X HD Remaster. We're all familiar with at least the game itself, I would assume, right? Final Fantasy X.
Yes.
You were supposed to ask me
if you could say, do I need to ask that one? Yeah, so this is not a new game, which is why I'm not really going to dwell on it. When did Final Fantasy X come out? 2001? 2002? I should know this. But Xbox, we finally got the HD remaster in 2019, and immediately before it was even out, the achievement hunting community thoroughly bashed it because it's the 10 and 10.2 HD remaster crammed into one achievement list for 1,000 gamer score, 500 gamer score for each game. That's a terrible decision in its own right. It's even terrible-er, I know that's not a word, when you consider that the PlayStation version got 2 trophies, one for 10 and one for, or what is it, platinum trophies, one for 10 and one for 10 too. So we, not only did we only get one list, but we got sort of half the value. They got, you know, 2 lists, we got one. But yeah, it's Final Fantasy X. There's not too terribly much to talk about that, I don't know, sort of is worth talking about on a 23-year-old game. But we were talking in general chat, and when I say we, I mean me and Expo, and I don't remember who else, randomly just mentioned Final Fantasy X, and this is probably like a month ago. I started on January 30th, so mid-January I just decided, I want to play Final Fantasy X, and that was that. I have been very slowly chipping away at that, just as, you know, life gets in the way and all that stuff, but... the reason I'm bringing it up, the whole point of the showcase here, is if you were like me and you played this game growing up, it was, I think, just a little bit much for 11 or 12-year-old me. But now playing as an adult, it's much more nuanced. It's much deeper. Like, I completely forgot Jecht is Tidus, the main character's father. I completely forgot, like, he even existed. And he plays a pretty big role in the story. To the point that, like, I remember it being a cute love story between Tidus and Yuna, and I think it's really more of like a childhood trauma story with Tidus and his father. So, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of why I'm bringing it up, just as far as the story goes. If you played it when you were younger, at least do like a Wikipedia summary recap if you're not going to play it again, because the story is much deeper and more involved than I remember from, again, going back 20 years. So, yeah, just the characters are very well done. I really like all the characters. There's not like a single dud in the party, for lack of a better term. The combat is a lot of fun. The level up system, there's just a lot of good things about this game, man. I could go on and on all day. But I will spare us the trouble. Final Fantasy X HD remaster.
Bring it home, man.
Let us
know, man. I believe it or not, I've never played Final Fantasy X. And I've played 1 through 9 a lot. This one, I guess, was a period of time where I just didn't have time for it. And PlayStation 2, there's just a lot going on, man. The Xbox came out in 2001, man. I know it's the first Final Fantasy game with voice acting, full voice acting, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can dive like, in. I was kind of just fumbling through my words. Man. I didn't really know what to
Don't
say.
Worry, all right. Cool.
Okay. Yeah, so Final Fantasy X, it was...
We forget things.
Okay, all right, let's do it. It was the first one on PlayStation 2, so they had the new technology upgrade boosts. Like El just said, it was fully voice acted. The other ones didn't really have any voice acting other than just some, you know, Link grunts and whatnot. So that was a big change. The combat is, was it the first one to sort of do, it's turn-based, but it's not just, you know, El goes, Kush goes, X goes, West goes, Boss goes, and then repeat. It's based on your speed and your agility stat. So, like, the fast characters might actually get to attack twice in a row. Mostly
all been like that.
Well, I know the early ones, it was straight up just... Like active on a cycle, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, then the
speed, always played a part. Yeah, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm saying it's not like the ATB where it's like on a timer. It's straight up turn based.
Okay. Okay, got it.
Just based on speed. Yeah, yeah. So there, the combat, it was simultaneously like a step forward and a step backwards, I think, depending on how you feel about turn based combat. It was also the last Final Fantasy to be turn-based combat, for whatever that's worth. The story, I don't want to spoil anything, even though it's a 20-year-old game. The story starts you off in, I'm going the first hour of the game here. So you start off in Xanarkin, this futuristic city, and then this random guy shows up and says, like, we gotta go. You're in the middle of a blitzball match, which is underwater soccer is the best way to describe it. So he's like, we gotta go, and he gives you a sword, and then all these like weird like demon things start attacking, and then you wake up a thousand years in the past, basically. And I think if I go in much more detail, now I'm getting past the first hour of gameplay, but you got to figure out, like, you know, you fought this big scary demon monster thing named Sin, and then you woke up in the past and you don't recognize anything or anybody, and it's just sort of a journey of primarily, I want to go home. And then, of course, it becomes more than that. But yeah, it's a good cast of characters. You got Tidus is the main character. He is your underwater soccer player. He's just kind of the standard JRPG hunk teenager. And then you have your classic white mage and black mage. And then you got your big beefy brute berserker, whatever you want to call it, and then a regular melee. And then your long range, and then your thief. Like, it really is the classic Final Fantasy character tropes, but they all have, you know, personality, and they're voiced, and they're actually fleshed out characters. And the only note that I really had to talk about was just, like, the characters are so good. Like I was saying, there's no dud. They wrote everyone very well, and everyone gets their time in the spotlight. There's no, like, oh, shoot, we forgot we had L, let's include him. Everyone is really catered to and equally represented. So I don't want to go much further in the story than that, but yeah, it is one of my favorite RPGs growing up.
Now,
and I was very excited for the Xbox remasters, and then kind of like I just said not too long ago, life got in the way and I never got around to it, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna play that again, and I am enjoying the heck out of it. The only downside, the only negative thing I have to say is if you've played the 7, 8, and 9 remasters, they had the speed boost and whatnot. 10 does not have the speed boost, which is very disappointing.
Cheats.
Yeah, I don't even mind like the cheats. Like, if you want to, you know, put max damage and max HP, that's fine. I don't judge, but man, I really wish we had that
speed in there? Boost.
Huh. No, there are no cheats whatsoever.
No cheats at all. Right.
So as far as achievements go, I already mentioned the list, it's the two full games, 10 and 10-2, sharing the list of 1,000, so 500 each game, and both of them are just very, very grindy. Like even by JRPG standards, even by Square Enix game standards, 10 looks to take about 100 hours, and then 10-2 is like another 100, 150 hours. The whole game is a 200 to 300 hour estimate. They're long games, and they very much make you do everything in the game, including the infamous get over 100% completion in 10-2. So it is daunting. 10-2 has some missables in it. You'll definitely want to follow a guide if you're going for the achievements. If you're just going to play the game, you'll get probably 200-300 across both games. Like, they really do make you go out of your way for things. So it is not a hunter-friendly game, but it is a classic and one of the best highly regarded JRPGs ever made. So thank you for letting me indulge. I was not planning on doing so.
And then when you're finished, you could do it all over again for Windows, I believe. Is there? Yes, do it.
There is. I did not even know that. You're absolutely right.
Just play the games till you pass away.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. The Windows says 150 to 200 hours, probably because the only people that played that were just mashing through everything because they'd already played
it. Knew what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny.
But yeah, it's currently on sale for $20 if anyone has been inspired for this Blast from the Past. The gameplay, all the systems were updated, or not like the core gameplay, but like the menus and stuff were updated to be modern. Everything plays as it should, no bugs, no glitches, and it's not like a remake. It is a remaster of a PlayStation 2 game, but it looks good. It looks now like how you remember it looking from 2001.
Okay, cool. All right, thank you for your Final Fantasy X/10-2 collection remaster.
Yeah. HD remaster, get it right.
Oh, excuse me, HD. Right. All right, that brings us to sales. Koosh, what tabs you got open?
All right. I'm looking at Tools Up Ultimate Edition, $7 down from $35. I know I talked about this. I talked about this at one point in time.
Yeah. It's about Shrek.
No.
About the picture. Oh.
Okay. This is a party. Come on, that was good. It's like Overcooked or Moving Out, and it includes the DLC that would have cost you in the original release, but it's part of the 1K as opposed to, I think, the 350 extra gamer score you would have gotten. However, the trade-off is that everything works in this one. The original game, the non-Ultimate Edition, there is one unobtainable currently. For whatever reason, this game does not. So if you're to choose between the two, probably go with this one. It's a fun game. It is local only co-op. So if you're into that sort of thing, just be aware they have to be in your house. And I'm told that some of the achievements are easier in co-op, as you would expect. But everything, I think, is still doable single player, which is the way I play it. Next up, Trek to Yomi, $8 down from $20. This is action adventure. This was on Game Pass. It's that samurai type action with the, is it sepia toned? I can't remember if it was completely sepia toned or if it was just monochromatic. In either case, awesome game, cool looking. This is the lowest price ever, $8 down from $20. I'm picking this up because I did not finish it while it was in Game Pass. And lastly, Trash Sailors, $5 down from $20. This is an action game. Once again, it's a little bit like a party game. In this game, you are on a raft and you are picking up trash. And then throwing it into a grinder and then using that either to repair your raft or to fuel the engine or other things like that. It looks pretty cool. I don't think anyone has talked about this yet. It's a relatively new game, $5 down from $20. I'm tempted, and this one is also apparently possible solo, even though it is a party game. Trash Sailors.
Okay, I'm going to talk about some Metroidvania games, courtesy of Nerdy Neo. who wanted to remind us that Carrion is $6. That game was a lot of fun back when it was on Game Pass. It's been off for quite a while now, so you can grab that one for $6. That's 70% off. That's pretty good. Dendera, also, if you somehow missed out on that, that was Games with Gold. That's $3, 80% off. Gato Robatos, $2. These are some really great deals. 75% off. Grime, I don't know much about that one. That one's $17.50 at 30% off. That must be new. Ori doesn't make sense to buy. Yada yada sucks. Out Buddies, it's $1.80. It's $1.80, 90% off. Another bargain. And Strider, $4.50, 70% off. And Trash Quest, $2.70, 70% off. Now, Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, which is pretty new, is 40% off at $30. Or the deluxe version, what comes with stuff, is $36. And I believe it just comes with a digital map, was it? And some cosmetic items. And, of course, most people played that by buying a month of Ubisoft Plus instead for cheaper. So that's up to you, of course. But they just detailed a roadmap of DLC coming out in the future. So that was pretty cool of them. I guess we'll have to wait and see if that's going to be free or paid, right? Or if it has achievements or not. But it's a very, very well-received game by that Koosh guy over here. And I actually trust him, so that's good. Go ahead, JMO.
All right. I've got the East Asia Soft Indie Schmuck Bundle, $2.96, down from $8.99. I love those games. They've got some good music, some easy gamer score. Looking for something for anything. Those are a good bundle right there. Happy Humble Burger Farm is $4.99, down from $19.99. I believe Rocker Dude talked about this a while ago. So it's a good price, 6 to 8 hour completion, it looks like. So I'm going to look at picking that one up. And the last one I have is Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition, $4.49, down from $29.99. This includes all the DLC into one game. And it's one of my favorites from the 360 era. So definitely worth it if you like the action beat 'em up. It's got a lot of genres on there. I think it's a 60 to 80 hour completion. Or no, sorry, 40 to 50 hours. I was wrong. So, another great game.
Nice. Max the Hero.
All right. First up, I have the Agatha Christie Collection, which includes two Agatha Christie games, the ABC Murders, and then the prequel to that, Hercule Poirot, The First Cases. They are both, I've played them both. They're both solid point-and-click games. They both have good stories, good, like a whodunit kind of story. Well, I guess that's Agatha Christie, right? So that goes without saying. They play well. They don't overstay their welcome, I guess is what I'm trying to say. They'll both take you about probably 8 hours with a guide, but they are... I think they're both fully voiced or mostly fully voiced, and they're good stories. They're entertaining. If you don't follow a guide, they will take you much longer. They're actually, you know, in typical point and click fashion, they're pretty abstract, and you know, unless you are in fact Hercule Poirot yourself, it's going to take a while. But I used a guide, no shame, and I still actually thoroughly enjoyed both of them. The games themselves are 15 and 25, so 40 total. The bundle's normally 30, and it's down to $9. And if all you care about is numbers, they're both 1,000 gamer score each. First Cases will get you 1217 TA, and ABC Murders will get you 1532 TA. So about 2,600 true achievement points for $9, if that's how you value things. But if you like point and click, or you like whodunit, or you like Agatha Christie, highly recommend the bundle. It's a good deal. As I was browsing through the list, I randomly saw Bayonetta. Whatever. I think we all know Bayonetta, right? What is there to say about Bayonetta. You have guns and you're an Umbra witch and you kill demons and stuff with pistols on your feet, if you don't know Bayonetta. But that's the remaster for Xbox One. It's $6.25 down from $25. The only reason I'm really mentioning this, I maybe I'm super slowpoke here, I didn't realize you could just buy Bayonetta. It released as part of like the anniversary bundle with Bayonetta and Vanquish, and I didn't realize that they were ever separated. So if you are dumb like me, and you only want Bayonetta and don't care about Vanquish, you can do that. Has that been the case forever? Like, have I really just not purchased this game that came out 4 years ago because I didn't know I could buy just this game?
Yeah, I think.
Okay, well, I feel super dumb. But, so yeah, I'm going to pick that up. Just, I liked it on 360. I wouldn't mind playing that again. And special shout out, Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen, which is the original game and the expansion pack DLC bonus content end game thing. It's a whole new dungeon. So Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen is down to $4.49 from $30. So if you don't know if you want
to
gamble, what? So if you don't know if you want to gamble on the $70 sequel, then try out the $5 original game. I don't know what else I'm really trying to say here. I already talked about it enough. But yeah, $5 if you want to give the series.
I see that was removed from the store, so I don't know what who mentioned that or...
I was looking at
Are you looking at the 360 version? The 360 version was removed from the store.
Yes.
The Xbox One version is alive and kicking and on sale for $4.49.
I knew that.
Oh, is that what you guys were trying to interrupt me and say?
That's what he was. I was the one that put it on the sheet because when you were talking about it, I saw it and I was like, oh, I'm sure he probably wants to mention this. Yeah,
thank you.
I
didn't even realize it was on sale. So, good.
I was just looking at their 360 version, and I had a bone to pick with X the Hero.
Uh-oh.
So I saved you from getting your bone picked?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, your bone is going to be picked, sir.
Yes, you can still get it on disc. But...
this best RPG of the 360 era, you only have 41 of 50 achievements, sir. Yeah. That's not even close.
That's how much I liked it, that I actually just genuinely played it. And didn't care about the completion. That's a compliment to the game.
Like back in 2013, you didn't care.
2013?
You knocked this game out in 4 months. Wow.
Are you creeping through my stats now?
I mean...
Let's see, too. It looks like I started it...
December.
Oh, I started it right before I graduated college, and then I picked it back up a couple months later. So, yeah.
I do love that TA has that flag now, the story completed flag. So it shows that you finished the story March 23rd, 2013. That's a long time ago.
I guess.
I was saying, Jameson was wrong. The Xbox One version is on sale. It's not removed from the store. I don't know what anyone was talking about.
So actually, that's interesting, and I will not spoil the game at all if anyone does want to pick up the first one for $5. I'm curious what they'll do in the second one, because the bar's kind of set with how they handled the first one. With no spoilers whatsoever, I would not do that. When you think you've beaten the game, it's one of those things where, no, you haven't. And I'm not even talking like end game or post game content or anything like that. It's you think you beat the game and you're halfway through the game, actually. Congratulations, welcome to the second half of the game. So I'm curious if they'll have a major plot twist, unexpected. What? That's not the, end of the game. I wonder if they'll do that in the sequel. I'm sure they'll have something. But when you see the story completion flag, it's actually really like 10 achievements back, where you think that's the story completion, and then a month of play later, then you actually beat the game.
Speaking of Hogwarts Legacy and this completion flag, I've never seen this completion flag on TA, but does it go away when you get all the achievements? Because I'm looking at Hogwarts Legacy. Yeah, I don't see my story completion.
You know, sometimes I've seen it. Let me check. I mean, sometimes I've seen it.
It just sounds like a nice new feature I wouldn't mind knowing about. I don't remember that being addressed.
Let's see if I want.
So for Mass Effect Andromeda, I don't have a story completion. I just have when I started it and when I finished it. Let's see what else we got.
I wonder if it's something that's like not done retroactively or if it's done new. If anyone knows, that'd be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at some of them right now and they don't.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've seen it, but maybe it is just goes away once you get the full completion.
Yeah, X, we need you to go finish that 360 version, and then we'll know, if you don't mind.
Report back. Come on, I'll see what I can do.
Time.
Okay, cool.
You'll thank me later.
Actually, I think...
Oh, I'm looking at one version.
I just pulled up Tales of Arise, and so I have the game completed, but I can still see the story completed flag.
Yeah. I bet you it just goes away when you get the completion.
Let's see. Yeah, it definitely goes away from the like the top stats.
Oh, you mean up there. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Because I had not noticed that it had like story completion flag at the top, you know, where it has your breakdown. That's interesting. Sorry for the tangent. Once again, Hogwarts, fantastic game. but this flag, yeah, it looks like it does go away.
That was Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen.
And Hogwarts Legacy. Yeah.
It's just the character creator bundle pack that we're so expertly talking about this episode. Which, of course, leads us to... I guess we could talk about Game Pass. I mean, besides Paw Patrol, there's nothing else really on there, right?
We're not doing this for 2 weeks in a row.
Okay, we won't make fun of you.
All right, as Koosh so eloquently talked about Paw Patrol, we've got Paw Patrol World, Cloud Console and PC. Action-adventure game, 6 to 8 hours. Make sure to check all those settings that Koosh talked about and get your best gameplay out of it. We've got SpongeBob SquarePants, Battle for Bikini Bottom, Rehydrated is out now on Cloud Console and PC. Platformer, 12 to 15 hour completion. Stack. Control Ultimate and Stack. There you go.
Yeah, ooh, Stack. You can do the PC and the Xbox.
Nice. Also, if you are anywhere near my age, like 30 to 35, you played this game on PlayStation 2 growing up, and it has aged very poorly on PlayStation 2, but they did update it. It plays very nicely, the Rehydrated version. Highly recommend if you enjoyed the heck out of it growing up like I did.
So pancakes abound for SpongeBob, and also pancakes abound for Control, Ultimate Edition, Cloud Console, and PC. Third-person shooter, 1,390 gamer score, 30 to 35 hour. It has a walkthrough, and I have started playing this on Windows, so you get the Windows Ultimate Edition, you get the Ultimate Edition on Xbox, and the Standard Edition is available, so you can do all three stacks if you want. Nice. So have fun. No More Heroes 3. Cloud Console and PC, open world hack and slash, 67 to 100 hours. March 18th, we have Lightyear Frontier, simulation open world management. March 19th, as Elle has mentioned, we have MLB The Show 24. The achievements just came out for that. It's a sports game. Sports. And sports.
Baseball game is a sports game, just so everyone knows.
Yep. You never know. Okay, and the other one on March 19th is Open Roads Adventure, publisher for Annapurna. And March 28th, we got the big one, Diablo 4, 200 to 300 hour action RPG, role-playing hack and slash dungeon crawler. Pretty packed March there. And leaving Game Pass by the time that this comes out, probably going to be all done, but still leaving Game Pass, we have Hard Space, Shipbreakers, Simulation Management, 50 to 60 hours, 1,560 gamer score with a title update. And the other one is Shredder's Open World Sports Snowboarding, 8 to 10 hours. We also got some good news for those who were trying to do Ni No Kuni Wrath of the White Witch Remastered. It is no longer leaving Game Pass. So you get to continue to play that if you are trying to finish that. So you can have some more time.
And poor Mental, who has spent his entire life trying to rush this before it leaves.
23 hours a day to finish it.
So enjoy that. And I'm sure we'll get some news for next week.
It's not like we would get podcasted or anything like that.
Nope, just good news here.
Yeah, we expect the news on the 19th. So hopefully we'll be in time.
Oh, is that when you expect the news from Melissa McGame person?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, we haven't heard from her in a while.
We have?
Yeah.
Has she been fired for being too witty?
I don't know. We'll have to check with Bob.
He would know. Like,
stick Bob on it.
Yep. Reaper Bob.
All right, Kush. Quickly remind everyone about the best Gamertag challenge there has ever been.
Yeah, we don't typically do that.
I know. We're going to do it.
All right. For you.
You're going to have to do it all month long.
Oh, yeah.
Do it at the top all of the month. Show, the middle point of the show, the sponsor new break. Intro
for the show.
Yeah. Repeated scenes everywhere.
All right. Fine. Fine. This month's Gamertag Challenge, which we don't normally talk about at this point, is Big Al Can't Win, is your Gamertag phrase that you're trying to spell with the first letter of games, one unique game per letter instance. So the L's have to be two different games, for instance. The Wild Guard game is going to be any new achievement or previous completion in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series, and that will allow you to skip one letter if you have that. The bonus is stop trying to make Simul a thing because it's not a thing. And you're going to be earning achievements in games starting with the same letter, as a game that Big L has earned an achievement in this month. That sounds complicated. Big L plays a game. It starts with a letter. You want to play a game that also starts with that letter. That's the bonus. And the bonus is Big L wants a sandwich. And you're going to be earning achievements in games. And you want ones that have something that would taste good in a sandwich, probably. You can have five of those. Now, the twist is that Big L will pick your sandwich combinations. So he won't know whose is what's, because it takes research, and he wouldn't do that, to know what sandwich combination has been put together. And he will pick the yummiest sandwich combination, and that person will get 20 additional bonus draws.
Why does everybody want to add poop to it?
I'm just saying, they can put anything they want that's people edible.
In that room are crazy, I tell you. They're crazy.
Yes, they absolutely are crazy. So if you want to see the craziness, check out the Gamertag channel in the Discord. If you don't see it right away, you might have to sign up for it. The role assignment channel, and you can see what's going on there. Request to play along. You can jump in at any point in the month as long as you've been keeping track of your achievements. Any achievement earned in this active month will be valid, assuming it meets the criteria.
Yeah, man, this is my month, okay? It's my birthday month. I'm going to win something, even if I have to have a sandwich. Like, you send me a sandwich, I don't care how long it takes to get in the mail, I will eat it, okay?
You got me to read it this twice. My month. That you've won something already. There you go.
Do you want me to give you a $5 gift card, L?
No. I want the sandwich. I'm not going to go to the store. Kidding?
I was going to do an Xbox gift card just so you can win something.
Oh, thank you. And because it's my month, I'm going to come up with another contest right now that I just came up with.
Can I try and guess what it is?
Okay, you can. Yes.
Okay, since I have talked about Dragon's Dogma 2 so much, if I had to guess what contest L just thought of, it would be, patrons, you should go download the Dragon's Dogma 2 character creator and make characters, and then we staff can vote on our favorite patron-made characters. Would that be your contest that you just thought of?
Yes, but you left out sandwiches.
Sorry, I forgot the sandwiches.
We have to create characters that look like sandwiches?
I mean, the character creator is robust enough that you probably could.
Mayor McCheese?
Sorry, are they typically holding sword in one hand and a shield in the other hand? Can they hold a sandwich?
You can pick your class when you make your character. You have a sword and shield, a bow, dual wielding daggers, or a mage staff.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about exactly
clothing, but whichever one of those. We're
going to talk exactly how this is going to work. I think it should work in the same way where everyone sends their submission somewhere, so it's not a popularity contest. We don't know who submitted what.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
We probably should have worked out the logistics before you just made this.
Nah, I just thought about it. We will tag the Discord when the show comes out, and we'll definitely have all the specifics nailed down by then.
Totally.
Holy totes. And this is something special for the patrons. We want to give back. The winner can buy me another sandwich with the $5 gift card. Okay.
You get the privilege.
Now, should I assume this is going to be a full-priced game that's not on Game Pass?
There are currently no Game Pass plans, and it is actually, say what you will, it's Capcom's first $70 game.
I will say what I will. That's okay. We'll support them.
I don't know. It's, $20 without going on a tangent, next month. It's much easier to swallow a $70 RPG that I'm going to spend 70 hours with, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. More bang for your buck.
Absolutely.
Speaking of RPGs, I just thought of something else that I learned today that was exciting. The hit Game Pass RPG Sea of Stars, that's been out for a while, I saw a tweet from them. It said, should we add 3-player co-op? And then right underneath it said, okay, we will. And they're adding 3-player co-op. And it is a turn-based RPG, old school style. But if you read in, it says that you can time your hits together. So that sounds really awesome. And that might be the kick in the pants to get me to play that game. I could play with my son. So that sounds cool. If anybody has played Sea of Stars, let me know. It's one of those games that 5 million people have played, but I really don't know anyone who's played it. It's one of those. So I'll have to figure that out.
I mean, do I count?
You should play with Kelsey. What, Kushis?
I mean, do I count as having played it?
No, I'm talking about people who play couch co-op.
Oh, yeah, I don't do that.
Not desk co-op.
Yeah, not the people that go 10 minutes into control, get the first achievement, and count that they played it.
Who would do that?
I don't know. Nobody on this panel, yeah, for sure.
No.
Yeah, why do you have 3 hours in Paw Patrol and 14 minutes in Sea of Stars?
Priorities, man.
You're not supposed to see that.
It's the hot goss. It's the hot goss people want.
He's worried about not getting it done before it leaves Game Pass.
In 1 year.
Fair point. That's a fair point.
1 year, right?
Glitch.
I thought, so here's my thought process. I thought people that actually played RPGs would actually play this and then talk about it. So I thought, oh, I don't need to play a ton of it. And then that never happened. Well, maybe they'll implement 3-player co-op with timed button presses, and that'll get some people interested. I don't know.
Yeah, if they do it online, it'll be even better. Which is all that to say, Brag Camp, X, you're up.
Let's go for completions. Ooh. Unky Tim Fu has completed 1,100 games. Hitty Skies has 1,150 completed games. Firehawk D has 1,300 completed games. And my boy Stan Grias has 3,250 completed games. Congrats, guys.
Ian Streaks by 571 has 50-day streak and is there with L Never. With 50 days. Blue Thunder 7398 with 100 days. Chris Bud 20 with 250 days. Cerebral Assassin with 500 days. Thrash Forever, oh my gosh, with 800 days. Dynaman 87 with 1200 days. Eldritch SS with 1300 days. And celebrating their 1 year achievement win streak is Dunkos.
In Gamerscore, we've got Quantum Gray 17 with 350,000 Gamerscore, Skeptical Mario with 450,000 Gamerscore, Eldritch Direct with 650,000 Gamerscore, Fallen Serrano with 700,000 Gamerscore, Wazari XDKX with 950,000 Gamerscore, X Magic Monkix with 2.3 million Gamerscore, and Sangrias with 3.8 million Gamerscore.
That's not that much.
Nah.
I admit also that that's not that much. In leaderboards, Luke 17,000 is second in TA leaderboard for PC Game Pass, as well as top 100 of TA difference leaderboard for simulation. And Northern Last is top 500 of completed games leaderboard. Oh. Shannon, I think it was Shannon Dar, that's it, Shannon Dar backwards, I can't say it really, is third in Michigan TA difference leaderboard for Xbox One Game Pass. Our friend Dish is in the top 50 of achievements one leaderboard for shoot 'em ups, and top 50 of the max possible completion percentage leaderboard for shoot 'em ups. I believe he tends to complete a new 40 to 50 hour game a day somehow and post somehow. It in Brag Camp. Yeah, I mean,
time dilation.
He's pretty skilled.
Yeah, he's got that Hermione Granger thing going.
I was thinking that too, but I don't remember what it's called, so I didn't say anything.
I'm Turner. Just saying.
I'm Turner.
Wait, how do you know?
I went back in time and looked it up and then inserted this into the editing because that's how we edit everything.
The most important brag of all, though, is our very good friend and patron, Chesno. He's going to be a daddy. He's having a baby. Congratulations. Say congratulations, everyone.
You know, Wild West is not impressed, but everyone else is pretty impressed. So good job.
You have to start somewhere, Wild West.
It's like just one baby.
I mean,
it's always a fun thing, and we hope everything goes smoothly with that.
No stress. Enjoy. Absolutely.
No stress. No stress.
Nope. You know, if you're in the patron VIP room, not to let you know what goes on in there, but he posted a picture of the little sonogram. Baby mm-hmm. sonogram, and you could see a controller in the baby's hand already. So
in a fighting game, it's weird.
Yeah,
was it a controller or like a fight pad? It looked like a fight stick.
Yeah. and there's a little pug in there also. I don't know what happened. Wait, what kind of dog does he like? I don't know. He likes dogs and fighting games. Well, congratulations on tricking someone congratulations.
Whoa.
All right. Sorry.
Posting a picture. Yes.
Posting a picture.
You did the hardest part by posting a picture. No. We hope everything goes well.
He was probably like, get away from me. I'm trying to play, mate.
Mate.
Mate. Matey. That's what we call each other, right? I don't know.
I didn't realize they were sailors, but okay.
Good day, mate.
And you can also see my Shrek Soul Calibur brilliance in that same channel.
Yeah. All you need is $5, and we'll get you right in there. You'll be part of our contests and get to do extra special ducky races on the live show. If you're Amazon Prime subscriber, we want to take care of you because you take care of us. And Chesno, man, I'm just so proud of you. keep on fighting the good fight, play those games. And I want to hear that you named your baby like Guile Chun-Li. Or something. Akuma. What?
Noken.
I want to hear something crazy. I don't want to hear any Dragon Ball nonsense. I want to hear like a cool fighting, like Dhalsim. That's a good name.
Just don't tell your significant other where it comes from. Just say, hey, I thought of this cool name. What do you think?
I swear, M. Bison is the new cool name.
See, it's right here in this book that says it's the up-and-coming names.
What about Reptile? Could maybe call our baby Reptile.
Well, I don't think you could have a baby if you have reptile dysfunction. Okay, Koosh. So, and on that note, thanks for joining us, X the Hero.
Well, actually, the show's not over yet because I haven't announced top three evolutions. Number three, Umbreon. Number two, Espeon. Number one, Sylveon, obviously.
And we are a Nintendo podcast again. Congratulations.
Better than being a PlayStation.
That is very true. No, wait, we like them now. They took our Sea of Thieves. We're friends.
Oh, yeah. Number one selling Sea of Thieves.
And you have to have a Microsoft account for that now, right?
I believe you do.
They may as well just get an Xbox. Come on.
So does that mean when Sarah Bond posts about how many million subscribers are on Microsoft accounts, they're going to include people playing PlayStation, Sea of Thieves?
Now we understand.
It's all part of the plan.
I don't know what they're talking about. So, X, thanks for guessing the contest I was thinking of. Very good job.
Heck yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. Always a pleasure.
We should have another special guest in the works next week. Wait and find out. We totally know who it is, and it's not last minute. And class is dismissed. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
See ya.